Blog Talk Radio.
Helping and Thinking, Gene Albertson. Join me. Please call 516-418-5651. I'd love to hear from you. I want to talk about what's on my mind. Basically, I wanted to save the world since I was 4 years old. Join me. Every Sunday at noon Eastern Time. See ya.
Well, howdy, y'all. Gene here. All right. This is my second episode of my Helping and Thinking podcast. My business name is Helping and Thinking. I charge by the hour or project. It can vary the cost, but that's a separate deal. And I realized that when I chose that as my business name, I realized because that's what I do and what is to do. And gosh, it's become clear to me that since my entire life has become a spiritual journey and helping and thinking is what it is. So, and I charge at some points outside for my things I do, usually helping folks around their yard for an hourly rate or helping figure things out, that sort of thing. But I realized at one point that that's all that, a way I was using it to get money, but that's not what it's for. It's for one here. That's talk about things that brought me to a point in time that I consider that I have found happiness, something I've always wanted. I found my meaning of life, something I've always wanted. These sort of things that I sought and I've located, and it's been an awful lot of struggles. And through the 20th century type of mentality that I grew up in and I was a hardcore participant in, a lot of times the struggles I had, I should say, I had difficulty understanding that the struggles I was facing were ones that I was doing of my own accord. I was choosing them, but I was choosing them. I thought it was, stuff was happening to me, you know, and so it's part of my understanding and making myself more happy and manifesting the life I want. So with that said, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is changing. People are a lot of times really resistant to change, and I'm going to have to say, I'm raising my hand. You can't see me unless you can see me in your mind's eye. I'm raising my hand, and I have my little striking tool for my bell that I'm a bowl that I'm getting ready to strike too. Helps clear the energy. Kind of clear my intention. And one of the things too, if you continue to follow me and listen to me, I'm going to just openly admit that I do have sometimes a memory issue. I think faster than I talk a lot of times, and I'll forget what I'm thinking and what I was talking about. So, quite honestly, I have to blame some of it on all those Kiss records I listened to back in the 70s. My mom told me, especially with that towel wrapped up at the bottom of the door. You know, I also had some difficulty with my hearing isn't as good because I didn't wear hearing protection when I use power tools and listen to Kiss really loud too. So, you know, all the things things are lessons that we learn. Now, changes. Talk about changing. One of the things that I think people forget that we do change. Everything changes. I mean, it's a basic human experience is change. We are born, we change because we start walking, we change because we grow up, we change because we get old, and we change because we die. Things, you know, in between, things keep changing. It's interesting, I just before I came on here, I did a quick search. I typed the word change in my music service that I use on my cell phone, and the songs and band names and that sort of thing that came up with change, pretty dramatic. It just went on. So, I mean, I think I would argue that that is an indication that, that change can be pretty fundamental human experience. I have always had difficulty with change because of control issues. I felt as a human firmly in control of my destiny that change was really something that I had to really protect myself against, you know, buy insurance and things like that. You know, I mean, if things change and you want to control it and you can't control it, how much anxiety does that cause for crying out loud? You know, it's like even if things are always changing around you, and so then you always have anxiety because you don't ever have control over the changes. I mean, yes, you can make laws and lock doors and fences and stuff and keep, you know, turn away and that sort of thing and keep some little changes from happening, but that's just a temporary fix. It's kind of like alcoholics or anybody with an addiction. You go to that is your automatic go-to, and then it helps for a little while, but then it's once you're done, it's back to the problem is not solved. You know, the no solutions explored or found. So what I'm thinking is that of this story that I heard that really was pivotal when I started understanding change and inability to control it. I want happiness. Found the secret of happiness. I think it's self-love. I think it's the thing that we start looking for the moment we emerge from mother's womb, you know, where everything was completely humanly. There was no care in the world. And the second you're out, of course, you have to start breathing on your own and kind of cold and all that sort of thing. So I think we go for that from the very beginning. And I would argue is the root of our hero's journey that we're on is coping with all these changes and how we deal with them and picking up our tools along the way, whether it's a sword or whether it's a finally deciding that you're going to avoid toxic relationships, whether you want to or not, you know, even if you're drawn to them. Change means changing the way you are, because things outside are always going to change and you can't control them, but you can change the way you are. And if you can't control situations, why try to? Why have anxiety? So I gave myself a lot of peace in that regard, a lot. And what's funny is it goes back to the Lord's Prayer that I remember when I was about the time I started my journey and what happened. Looking for God, I guess, is when I started back then. It was on the wall, and I remember looking at it, and I kind of always kept it in my heart. But I always puzzled over it through my human 20th century experience. You know, what really did it mean? And now I understand. It's about, you know, why bother stressing over things that you can't control? Like the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Man, that used to really boggle my mind I couldn't figure out what in the world, how can you just not worry, you know, the mortgage payment's coming up, you know, these three things are not working all at the same time at work, you know, but it's part of life, it's changing. So love, you know, and I started realizing that all, you know, you got to think all your mistakes, you got to go ahead and move past them. You accept them for what they are, past them, and jump into whatever new. I mean, you don't have to. I'm not telling anybody what to do, but I'm saying you can choose to do it however you want. But what I discovered was that I did some things like raising my vibration through, started singing and dancing again. I started doing things. Even in the beginning, I didn't want to because I was stuck in my little safe, little cozy world. But I did it, and I forced myself because I knew that was how you do it. And the first few times, it was forced. But I was a little better each time, and it got better. And I realized once I got out there and realized something different was kind of cool, and I'm still not completely over my angst surrounding change. But it's something once you become aware of that sort of thing, that's when it can get better. You can always be working on it. And that's, to me, that relieves a lot of anxiety about getting better. Now, above all, I want to have fun. One of my things I've said for quite a little while is having fun. If you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. And it can be pretty relative. I'm not putting that as a challenge out there. I've had people say, okay, well, what about, you know, cleaning the toilet? Well, what about funerals, you know? And, well, I could probably, I did come up with the toilet one. Somebody I'd marry, my partner on another show, the Take a Break with Gene and Mary, weekdays at noon, with the idea of some fun stuff at a funeral. And the idea is that it's the way you look at it, especially stuff you can't control. I mean, I pack myself up all day just watching people do things that I've done and I've already repaired the damage. But, you know, if you say something, I don't want to say anything. Because I remember it's experience to experience it for yourself. You know, how many times have you seen somebody do something, no matter how many times I told them they had to do it anyway? And that's what, based on expectations, you know, what do you expect? Well, expect you're going to get shocked and die if you stick your finger in a light socket. Well, I didn't, you know, I stood up in the bathtub as a kindergartner and stuck it in there right after she told me not to, of course, just knock me down. It didn't kill me, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that was pivotal in my future decision-making process as I think back. So now, changes. It comes to mind because this is 2021. Now, where are we? We are in July 18th, 2021. So all last year and this year, for the last year and a half, the entire planet has been just going through just immense changes everywhere in almost every facet of our beings, our societies, our governments, everything. And so there's a lot of people that are dealing with it well because they have coping mechanisms for that. There are a lot that don't. And, you know, it's hard to say, well, you don't do that. You can't, and just watch them go up in flames, you know, because they're like, think you're trying to tell them to do something, and that's a hard one. But you got to do it. It's kind of like being a parent, I think. You know, a lot of times I always hated to watch my kid just sit there and let them do something they were going to wish they hadn't, because that was one of those things. My parents told me that, and I did it anyway, you know. So I couldn't, and I think it's helpful. Was reading a story in a Native American poetry book once, that talked about, the idea was the children, just letting them just experience everything. The reference was falling into the fire. You know, they'll only do it once. And the likelihood of them going on to get seriously burned is so little, and the lesson is so valuable that it's knowledge by experience. So by doing and experiencing. So with that said, I don't have a handle really on this radio studio yet. I'm kind of new to it, and I don't have a mute button in case I need to cough. And sometimes I do. In the mornings, a lot of times I don't have people to talk to. I used to have a cat, and now I've got this cat roommate that I talk to a little bit, but he's not quite as conversational as the big old orange Tom. I like the pic of him, the big old orange Tom on the slideshow for this. So I think expectations is probably one of the biggest things could learn to deal with their own way that would help them deal with changes and really anything, any sort of disappointment, surprises, good or bad, you know, that sort of thing. Because how many times do you subconsciously or just like a knee-jerk reaction do something because what would people say? Or like with people all the time just really have difficulty if somebody coughs in public with all the recent COVID stuff going on. It's like a subconscious knee-jerk reaction. It's like kind of thing. I saw that. And it's like if you are disappointed in someone or you're mad at someone, why? They didn't do what you expected? Did they say they would? Did you tell them that was your expectation flat out and they said, okay, I understand that? You know, maybe. And then that's a different conversation that you guys need to have. But, I mean, to me, I was amazed. I was raised as a child that you don't talk about stuff that goes on in the house, you know. Oh, don't talk about that, or well, you can't do that. You don't act like that, you know. You're insane. Don't do that. You know, those sorts of things. And I see it all the time with parents. And so I really didn't think much about it, but it's setting expectations. And so the children grow up with those expectations that whatever they do, they just got to be so careful not to like be seen or heard or rock the boat or say something somebody doesn't like and these sorts of things. And so those set expectations for people to act, shall I say, unnaturally. And so it gives us difficulty from our soul level. So I think expectations are absolutely critical to explore. Look, what are your expectations? Are you mad at somebody? Why? For not being who you thought they were? That's how I finally started understanding. I was so mad at my dad and mom. When I was younger, my parents divorced, and that had a lot of anger and stuff I developed, and finally realized one day, I was like, well, wait a minute here. Who are you angry at? What are you angry about? You're angry because they weren't who you expected them to be. Oh, my goodness. They weren't who you thought they were. You know, and I started going back and thinking about it and, you know, really it was an overall general assumption between church, school, family, extended family, the overall society, that that's just how it was in my world. So, expectations. I really enjoy that bowl. I want to get several of them. Expectations. So, flying the bee, it was just pivotal. A fly and a bee in a clear glass jar or bottle, if you will. Hold the bottom of the, excuse me, folks, I'm having a little trouble getting a hold of my water here. Throat's getting kind of dry. Where's my, here, let's grab a hold of my lapis lazuli. Cold water. No, make sure you guys stay hydrated. Whatever you do, big walking ring, need plenty of water. Hate to lose your color, wouldn't you? Okay, so the bee and the fly story. So if you put a bee and a fly in a glass bottle, hold the bottom of the bottle up to a light. The bee, who I was most of my life, that was my impression of myself, will go to the bottom of that bottle. After that light, it'll just keep going for it. It'll hit the bottom of that bottle, going for that light until it dies, because it has its plan. It knows what it needs to do. It sees the objective. Nothing will waver. And that's all there is, busy as a bee. Now, the fly, of course, he just does what he does. That's all he does is fly. He doesn't care where he goes. Whatever he runs across is what he sees, he enjoys, and he goes for it. And because of that, he's flying all around. He doesn't really care about the light. He keeps flying. If he's flying long enough, he's going to fly out of that jar if the opening is there. My point is, when I heard that story and I thought about it at length, you know, it's just so pivotal in my mind, as it's all about your perspective. The fly isn't any less, expending any less effort. He's just not, you know, slow and steady can do the job a lot of times. But I think we get stuck, like I did, in trying to change, because and not even on purpose. It's just natural. It just is something we are grown up to do. You know, I think about the specific rules that I've met in my life that are inevitable. Of course, as a young Christian boy, there were 10 commandments. Period. This is it. Do this, you're in. Don't do these, you're out. There were Boy Scouts. I can't remember all of the traits, but I had to be loyal and trustworthy and honest and all those things, and I felt comfortable doing that. But in each case, I think I found in all the things I went for and I latched onto as my I want to say shining light, the beacon, my beacon in life for my destiny, was something external, and it was something that I was identifying with, and it wasn't everything I needed. of course, I know I was looking for God, you know, and now I know it was out inside me, not up there. But the point is that the fly will go ahead and utilize what it comes up with. But it has a chance to go outside the jar, the bottle, if things change. Like if a fly get caught and stuck in a bottle, pretty big change. So I think the idea being that is, I would hope folks could, this is where I had my reflection. It was very helpful. Is that I knew things that I had believed in wholeheartedly above all else, above spirit and universe, God, whatever, Gus, universe, spirit, self. When in reality, it's all inside us, and that makes everything outside us basically constant. And we can't control. But what we can control is what's going on inside of us, what we're looking for. Are we stuck on that light? I'm attracted to shiny things. I've been accused of not having a long attention span, but quite honestly, I'm attracted to anything, everything. There's so many things, especially if it's shiny, you know? And I wasn't always that way. And I'm thinking that really embracing change become my secret of happiness. You know, do I want change when I'm sitting there in a perfectly comfortable spot that's like in the lap of luxury, the beautiful tropical garden, private swimming pool in the back hardly anybody uses but me, lap of luxury. But things change. I no longer needed to be in that location. Things I was doing was different. My needs in life were different. And so it was a huge change. I mean, it's one of the major life changes. And actually, that's a whole nother really topic, dealing with all the major life changes. But the idea being that it's well, it's hard. See, again, I think I forgot what I was talking about. Maybe this is where I need an assistant. So somebody that can listen and chat me what I was just talking about. That'd be pretty easy. Or text me. So anyway, my point being that if we try to hold on to change, try to hold on to something, it's time to change. The universe is happening around us. And the way and we were doing and thinking and being and standing and lying and whatever we were doing is the same. We can't keep doing it because things around us have changed and it doesn't fit. And that's with most people, especially the last year and a half. Now, what I've found that the real comfort is this idea that you're never alone when you're connected with spirit, with Gus. And so instead of having to go for that light over there, always achieving light, got to get to that light to win the prize. That if you have Gus connection to you inside, and we all know, we have the doctors, it's American Medical Association, knows there's a brain on our hearts, and that's our main brain. That directs the signals to our head brain. So we get a direct connect up from the universe to our heart, and then everything goes out from there. And if we just follow what we hear, what we feel from our heart, if they're gut feelings, the heart brain sends a message to your solar plexus, your solar plexus chakra, and your sacral chakra when you're having emotions and doing stuff. And that part of you get a funny feeling in your tummy. That's God talking to you. If somebody says something or does something that just isn't right and you get kind of a queasy feeling in your stomach, that's God talking to you. He's sending a message to your heart, and it's sending that message to there because it's seeing God saying, hey, this is what's going on. This person to be trusted. Person, wow, this person likes you. You like this person. Those sorts of things. This is a funny situation, a creepy feeling, the hairs on the back of your neck. That's all God talking to us. And if we're receptive to it, it's very powerful messages. And the bee thinks the up there at the bottom of the jar in that light, and the fly has God inside. It's not out there anywhere. It's just in and it's expressing. Literally, God is experiencing the universe as a fly, just as Gus is experiencing Earth as Gene Albertson, or you. So the fly takes it from inside and just does what it does. Flies. It needs something to eat, smells or sees something good. Ooh, good, good. You know, of course, it has poop hands. Again, with the expectations. I've known people whose food can't touch on their plate or they can't eat it. You know, okay, cool. I understand. I have things like that, certain foods like that. But, I mean, it's just funny that it's like how funny we are. I got things I just don't want to do or I'm not going to. I just, no, thank you. Thank you very much. And as a stubborn person like that, I kind of, I've had some difficulties in my life for my ability to change. A lot of times I have fought the need to make a change because my expectations were that I shouldn't need to. You know, and that, of course, that all went out the window when I took the word should out of my vocabulary. It really was a self reflection tool that just was mind-boggling, eye-opening. Try it. Anytime, well, somebody should do that. Somebody should fix that. Well, I should do this. Oh, it shouldn't be like that. Every time you start thinking about that word, stop yourself and think about it. Okay. So, can you fix it? Okay. You know, I mean, honestly, you can hold on to it and worry about it, but it's going to change. Things are changing. And it's a big one. Like I was, my paradigm was written when I was born in my dad was a tour guide, and I learned to talk about the tour of the presidents, and I went to the Navy and saved the world from the evils and everything, and I went to college and studied all about whole business. And the bottom line comes down to the fact that my expectations were that when I saw the experiment, the great experiment they call the United States of America, that we had created to solve all of our human problems, just really looking like it was going over the cliff. And that's when I started realizing my expectations. Well, humans are never going to be any different than they have ever been, obviously. And you can't pass a law and just automatically it's fixed. So, you know, we gotta we got to each take charge of ourselves, looking at our own self. And what do I need to make it, to be happy? Don't just get by. Don't say just get by. Tell yourself what you need to be happy. Because that's the trick. You don't want to limit yourself. Whatever you wish for, the universe will give you. I wish for just enough. Well, that's what you're going to get. Never know when it's going to happen. That's the thing about divine timing. And, of course, that's like their catch-all, divine timing. Oh, it's all divine timing. But you've heard the patience of Job. I never understood it until I started connecting with the divine. Now I understand it. You wish for something over here and because you need it, and you don't see it. And then later on when you need it even worse, there it is. Just pops right up. And so that's really my only expectation, is just that I expect to have things happen the way I want it to. I do everything I need to do with the intentions that are spiritually conducive to the universe. So when things change around outside of me, if I know that even if things are and difficult and people, places, all these things I used to depend on as being almost constant or at least available are all just imagination, really, to me. It's all me. And the thing is, it's each of you as well. It is the individual. Because each is a divine being connected to the entire divinity of the universal energy, which is Gus, God, universe, spirit, self. And once you start doing that, you'll understand more. And you won't have to worry about what is going on around outside you. And of course, you've already gotten over your should. This should be somebody should. Nobody should be, you know? That's not right. Well, it's expectations, you know? It's changes. The way they've always been, the way you want them, or the way they said it was, or whatever it is. Except the things you cannot change, and the knowledge should know the difference. That's the biggest thing, is knowing what you can change and what you can't. Because changes are going to happen, and you just happen to be here. And they're going to happen. They're going to happen to you, or they can happen with you, basically. I'll go back to what I said when we first started here. The core of everything is self-love. The more you love yourself, love is that energy coming into you, the electrical energy that is the light in the cosmos is coming into you. And self-love is allowing it, basically, because we're all naturally built from our mother's womb. We're getting the thing we need as a child. We're built set, and we create these blockages as we grow. Things like trauma and bad experiences, good experiences, you know, everything shapes us. But once we find we're able to reconnect, then it all just kind of happens automatically. It's pretty cool. So what I'm going to say is that two things I came up with that have been really, if somebody asks me, how were you able to go from basically deathbed to completely and utterly happy? Now, I would like to point out, when I say happy, it doesn't mean I don't have bad crap happen. It doesn't mean I run out of money. It doesn't mean I can't get on the computer sometimes. You know, it doesn't mean I have this roommate cat that drives me nuts in the night. But that's all the point. It's what you expect. in the situations that I'm in, that's what I expect. And I deal with it. And I deal with it happily. I'm grateful. Goes back to what we were talking about last week, zero-sum living. I'm grateful as hell to wake up for every single morning. And Gus, if I didn't do that morning in my hurry of getting up and running around, thank you very much for helping me wake up again today. I appreciate it. You know, that's all it is, saying it. And now, having said that, the universe knows I like it. And they're going to be here again tomorrow and see to it that I get what I want. Let me wake up again tomorrow, Gus. That's all it takes. And then between now and then, I just follow my gut instincts. I follow my intuitions. Let God speak to me. Do what I know is the right thing to do. Every choice I make, am I going to do it every time? No, I'm human. But I'm going to own up to it. I started this job recently, and I did something at the end of the day, kind of in a hurry. I knew it wasn't as perfect as I wish it would have been, but with everything going on, it was one of those things I knew that I could get away with it overnight because I was a newbie. And I went in the next day, and I started to work. I heard the boss say this to one, another person, what this was. And she said, "Oh, I can't believe, do you look at this?" And I knew immediately that she was straight to this other guy who was kind of my supervisor, showing me how to do stuff. And I jumped right in. That is the decision I made to tell her I had done it. And please show me. I'll be more than happy. If you can show me the trick, it would be helpful. And that's all it took. Everything was fine. But there have been times that, you know, I could have just blown it off and the guy would have been in trouble and I could have played the newbie with him too. You know, but that's just part of being honest with yourself. So, patience. I think being open to new things is another thing that has been, that's pivotal. Being able to deal with change effectively certainly has not been my strength in the past. Yeah, you guys, anybody out there who's listening, if you're accidentally somebody followed me through Facebook and knew me 20 years ago, definitely a different person. I was much more rigid in my ideas. Pretty much knew what I liked, and that's what I liked. And saw something else I liked, okay. If I didn't, that's fine. Wasn't really open to new ideas. But kind of difficult to deal with change effectively if you're not open to new ideas, which I guess is what change really is, being new. And certainly want to deal with change if you think that it's not the way it should be. It should be the way it always was. I've heard that a lot. Yeah, one of the things I got sick of listening to is people talk about kids these days. You know, I'll speak up and in their face, I tell them I love kids these days. They're on the go. We just got to get out of their way, dragging them down. Let them change, you know. Let them make the change that needs to happen, and they're doing it. So I'm a supporter of kids these days. You know, ever since I decided to start looking at life as a fly instead of a bee, at first, I was a little bit concerned because everything I knew was the bee. Gosh, the rigidity of my thinking was, you know, I still was creative thinker, ideas and such, but just the different flow of ideas. I think creativity begets creativity. So one of the things that I've found with dealing with change is interestingly, if something's going to change, I'll go ahead and change something else in my life. So two things change. As silly as it sounds, if I'm, I remember a job I worked at that I had some pretty significant changes I had to suddenly deal with that were very uncomfortable. And it was, I was trying to figure out exactly how to do it driving into work one day. And it really, I was thinking of just quitting, just walking out. And I was thinking of not saying anything and just going with it. But I decided my best effort was to let the person I wanted to get the message to know. I work with them as a professional all the way, but I had a picture on my desk and started putting bacon, pictures of bacon in it every day. And, you know, change it every couple of days because I used to take a lot of bacon portraits as in my photography. And so what I did was all the angst and then discomfort that I dealt with about this change I was dealing with every day at work. Instead of having pictures of my kids on my desk, now I had bacon. And what it did was it changed the dynamic of the situation. This person was going to be like more directly involved with me, my energy field, and it was kind of difficult. And so what it brought other people in with this bacon picture. And so my energy field around work was filled with a bunch of people really in the bacon portraiture. And so this negative more present force in my life became less. And it helped me deal with it. I was always, whole professional career, I was dead set on having pictures of my kids on my desk. But the bacon work, it was amazing. That's of the pictures I used to sell at the shows that I, that was bacon portraits that sold the most. I've no longer eat much bacon. Kind of really gotten a distaste for meat. So, and bacon is meat. And I do sometimes out of necessity because, you know, when you're eating and you need to eat, what's for dinner will sometimes have to prevail. So open to new things. I'd like to ask you all to think about that. You know, is there something, just anything new this week? Anything would be great. I mean, it works. For instance, you're in a rut. Literally drive 10 minutes out of your way, a different route to a place you go all the time, whether it's work, school, whatever it is. It's just, you will amaze yourself. Try it. I'm not making up. You'll see things you haven't seen, just something different, anything different. As soon as your brain starts seeing anything different, it fires other things in there that makes you think of more different things. And if you can get your brain thinking of different creative things, then when changes at you from outside, you're more aware of it. They'll use it, you lose it kind of thing. And if you're not concerned that you're not achieving what you think you should be achieving right now because you're actually just standing right here, seeing and experiencing all the things that are around you, these new things, then it's okay. Just look at them. Just don't get off the road. Please don't, don't do it while you're driving. But you know what I mean. It's amazing. I've done that so many times in my life, trying to think of something, a new idea, a new angle, a new something to make something better. And with a block, just drive a different route to work, stop at a different store on the way to or from somewhere. And it works. It works. It just jogs. It kind of, it's maybe like a log jam, kicking loose some of the logs. So anyway, now it looks like I've talked for a bit, and I guess that's okay. I would like to bring some people in on a regular basis. Have you as listeners call and give me your thoughts on how you've dealt with these kind of things. It's kind of late. I don't have a following or anything, right? I'm just building. I don't expect their calls. And I think that what I'm doing is really formulating my thoughts on this concept of thinking and helping. I always joke to people that it's an hourly rate. Helping's $20 an hour, thinking's $100 an hour, you know. And in real life, I just do what I need to do. And helping, sometimes people need help with thinking, and sometimes think they need help. You know, I've found that to be true. I've needed help. Help is really kind of my thing. Way back in the day, when I told you when I was 4, I started looking for God again, because I got confused on where that little light was. And along the way, shortly thereafter, I got back on track with when I ran into Mr. Rogers. I grew up, I'm 60 now, and I grew up as a child with Mr. Rogers, being a fairly young man in the prime of his career on the show. And one of the things that I took from him and he gave me and has been incredibly valuable has fueled my hero's journey. He said that if you ever need help, just look around. There are always helpers. But if you don't see any, then you get to be one. See, even now I get a little bit of tears welling up back in there, because it's so powerful to me that it's true. You know, it always are willing to help each other. And, you know, you'll run into individuals who are not, for whatever reason in their life, they're not receptive to that. And that's okay. Everybody's on their own journey. But if you can be, to me, if I could be, and I'm suggesting to you, to embody that, has kept me alive, basically, in some just really, really difficult circumstances more than once in my life. Or it be spiritually a couple times, you know, my giant waterlogged rock I carry around. So it's significant to consider, definitely. So anyway, well, I want to go ahead and wrap up this show. I hope that if this is the first time you've heard me, you'll go back and check out the first one. It was last week. And I'll be here again next Sunday. I'm looking to be here every Sunday at noon going forward. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say on some of these things. And, of course, as my typical self, I totally forgot that I should have given this number out 4 or 5 times in the last hour, which I will get better. I might make a note here, because I want to hear every time I hear something about what everybody else is having a journey on, I learn something new, and that's what I want to do. The more I learn, I'm finding it's the better I am equipped as coping mechanisms. To deal with changes. Of course, I'm thinking of all the songs. Now I'm thinking of the David Bowie song, Ch-ch-ch-change, and Ozzy. When I was younger, I always used to skip the song because I'm rocking and rolling. But, you know, as I've matured a bit, I've gone back and listened to it. And it's all true. We all go through changes. don't get stuck trying to fight the changes so much that you're not on the fun things it can bring. You never know. It might bring stuff that you wish didn't bring, but you probably got stuff right now nice that you wish wasn't there. You know, I think it would be human too. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I do appreciate everyone who listened. Please check out all of our cool radio shows at Be Unique Radio at beunique.org. BUNEK.org. You can follow on Facebook, The Unique Radio. We post all, believe me, there's some excellent shows. If you listen to all of our shows for 2 months, you would have so much information for strategizing any kind of life change manifestation you could possibly come up with, literally. And I'm not exaggerating. It's going to take, you know, it takes time to listen and think about this stuff and think about how it can apply to your life. But the list is long, well, I don't know, 8, 10, 11 shows now, and coming at this from all kinds of different perspectives. Because the time now, each of us is a divine being. We're here as a vessel for God to experience Himself. And He wants us to be happy. And so whatever we want to be happy, all we have to do is ask for it. And things will change and we'll get stuff. God sends things to us. It seems uncomfortable. It seems difficult. It makes everything change. It takes people out of our lives. Just, I've recently had Him come in, just sweep them all out. And that was all there was to it. So all you can do is just stick with what's inside your heart, the divine, and know that whatever happens, that just be willing to accept what you can change, what you can't change. Learn how to live with it, and then go ahead and take action on things that you can change. So with that said, I would like to thank everyone once again for listening. I love you all. Go ahead and make plans to see me next week. Bye.
See you then.